Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
As we were singing that, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, what must we do? We are human doings. We want something to do to make us feel better. And Jesus said, believe or trust. How many have had your trust muscle injured in your life? It's trust in me. Trust that I love you. Trust that I will take care of you. You can cast your care on me because you can trust that I'm with you and I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I remember when I was 12 years old, my parents were fighting. I was in turmoil. In fact, it was just this week the Lord took me back. The kids are being dismissed at this time. It was just this week the Lord took me back as I was just sitting before the Lord and just said, Lord, if there's any wounds, anything that I just want to bring you into my whole heart. And he took me back to where I was sitting on the steps. I think it was like 11, 12. And my parents were fighting. And I was just sitting there listening. And I made a vow about that time that you can't trust those that you're supposed that are supposed to take care of you. You have to take care of yourself. From that moment on, I put on some armor in my life, that I never wanted to feel that vulnerable, that painful anymore. And then I began to walk my life down a road of self-destruction. God is saying, you can trust me. You can trust me. It's not what we do. Christianity is not about behavior modification. It's not about doing. It's about death, burial, and resurrection. Death, we take by faith. We say, thank you, Jesus. You died for me so I could be free. And then burial or baptism, when we have the baptism, we go under the water. That is a surrender. How many of you know to get baptized, to be submerged, you have to surrender? How many of you know it's a lot easier to sing, I surrender all, than to do it? Because God's messing with that trust muscle again. There's things in our life God is wanting us to let him come in and heal and make us whole. But you, he's not going to push his way in. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will open that door, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force his way into our lives. So he's wanting us to trust his love enough to open that door. And you know that scripture, behold, I stand at the door and knock. We always use that for people who don't know the Lord, but he's talking to the church there. Church, he is standing at our door every day saying, will you let me in this place that you've locked tight and drew away the key? Will you let me come in and make you whole so you can live a wholehearted life, loving freely, receiving love and giving love? It's all about love. Because he is love. So last week, Steve and I went to Costa Rica. I don't know if everybody knew that, but it was wonderful. And I realized the Lord's been showing me that you will love others the way you love yourself. And the way I would get my love was to do for people to make me feel good about me. But what I didn't realize is you cannot love people until you learn to receive and love yourself, all your weaknesses, all your strengths, all your darkness, all your light. God made you just the way you are. He accepts you right where you are right now. And you have to learn how to love and accept yourself because he loves and accepts you right where you're at. So we haven't learned how to take care of ourselves. What fills you up? Do you know? You know, the ocean fills me. There's something about the ocean. Beauty fills us. You have to know to take care of yourself. What fills you? If you're always doing, 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 you're not taking care of yourself. You know what? Another thing I had a hard time doing was playing. Because as a child, I was wounded. And my dad never played with me. And so I had a hard time. If Steve would act silly and want to play, he's like, junior high, you know. I was wounded in that area, so I couldn't just release and love and laugh and play. God is wanting to heal and make his people whole. We have to allow him to do that. All right, we're going to go on our series on James. We're in the book of James today. We've been going through the book of James. We're in James 4. And we're going to start, and I just had some scriptures, and I just want to share as it comes along what the Lord has done in this week, even in the week before, what the Lord's doing in me. So let's read James 4, 1. It says, it should be up here. What is the cause of your conflicts and quarrels? How many of you know Jesus came to give us peace? Do you have peace? You know, all of us carry all kinds of conflicts and quarrels. Maybe even on the way to church today, you got in a fight with your spouse. That's just like the devil. It says, what is the cause of this? The conflicts and quarrels with each other. Doesn't the battle begin inside of you as you fight to have your own way and fulfill your own desires? You jealously want what others have, so you begin to see yourself as better than others. You know, it's a funny thing about jealousy. Jealousy is kind of like bad breath. It's like everybody around you can see it but you. Because here it says, you're jealous and so you begin to see yourself as better than others. Well, you're not honest with yourself. When you're jealousy is cruel as the grave, the Bible says. Many times if we're having a problem with somebody and, oh, we just can't, they think they're what? Well, why don't you look and see? Maybe you're jealous. Oh, that's a hard one to look at. But it's probably true. And if you want to be set free, you have to own the truth. Goes on to say, you begin to see yourself as better than others. See how we deceive ourselves? Pride is the doorway into deception. If we're jealous towards someone, our pride won't let us admit that. So we begin to go into the doorway of self. We think we're better than them. We see things well. We're seeing their faults. You scheme with envy and harm others to selfishly obtain what you crave. That's why you quarrel and fight. The Bible says only by pride comes contention. If you have a problem with somebody, you have a problem. We always say, no, if she didn't do this. Let's look, let's get honest, let's get before God and say, he came to live his life in you. He put his love in you, and he was on the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them. That same power of forgiveness can flow through us to the world. But we have to be honest with ourselves and God. And it's hard. It's just plain hard. Especially if you're not used to being emotionally honest, you know? You've had feelings that you just buried alive for years and years, like that little girl, you know, I was vowed that I was not, I can't trust anybody. So I put on my armor and I did life with my armor. I came off as so tough and just blunt just to keep everybody away. Did I know I was doing that? No, not until I began a journey with Jesus. And he's still uncovering things in my heart and my life. Goes on to say, all the time you don't obtain what you want because you don't ask God for it. And if you ask, That's why you quarrel and fight. And all the time you don't obtain what you want because you won't ask God for it. What is it you're jealous about? Go to God. But first be honest that you're jealous. First, be honest that you're comparing and competing. And that in itself is hard to be honest about. Then we go on. And if you ask, you won't receive it, for you're asking with corrupt motives, seeking only to fulfill your own selfish desires. You know, James was the brother of Jesus. I think he knew Jesus pretty well. But it's our human nature to just want our problems to go away, just to go away. How many times have you heard a troubling tick, 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 or thump coming from the engine of your car and not to do one thing about it, hoping it will just go away? We do this with our health, too, all the time. That painful little hitch, a lump, troubling indigestion, those few extra pounds calling for our attention. But we let it pass for months or even years, hoping it will magically sort out itself. How much more do we do that with our soul? We tend to live in denial in areas of our life, which comes from a form of self-hatred, jealousy, and blame, because it seems easier to be the victim or to look at someone else's shortcomings and faults and blame than to take a good, hard look in the mirror and see what's really going on the inside and take it to the foot of the cross, because that's where the power comes, in death. And surrender ourselves and surrender our pain at the foot of the cross. And that's where resurrection takes over. When we give ourselves the sentence of death, I, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. But the way to get free is repentance. And repentance is acknowledging and agreeing with God what the real problem is. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. A broken and contrite heart God will not despise. The way to Jesus is always the way of humility and brokenness. Pride keeps us walled up. Pride keeps us offended. Pride keeps us bitter. And pride keeps us bound. In this busy world and distracted world, it's just easy and far more efficient to send our soul back to the back of the bus. Low priority to pay attention to what's really going on in here. Maybe later, we say. So there's neglected places in our souls. That's like when Lazarus came out of the tomb. You know, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, Mary and Martha's brother, who's not familiar with the story. He had died. And they said, Jesus, if you wouldn't have, Jesus took his time getting there because he was making a point here that he died and he'd been dead 3 days in the tomb. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And out he comes wrapped in grave clothes. Life on the inside, but you wouldn't be able to tell it by looking at him, except that he was moving. And that's a lot of us when we come to Christ. Life is on the inside, but we still got all those grave clothes. We still got the wounds. We still got the stinking thinking. We still might even have a foul mouth. So there's neglected places in our soul, neglected loss that we never really wanted to feel. We stuffed. Neglected disappointment. Our kids maybe didn't turn out like we wanted them to. We had hopes and dreams. We had plans for them. And grief. That's the thing about death and processing grief. You need to know how to, you know, when someone you love and is close to you dies, you need other people in your life to hurt with you. I think that's why God put tears in our eyes. He could have put it under our armpits. Nobody would know when you're crying. No, he wants people. Connection is how we're going to heal. As we let our grief, let our pain, we communicate it, confess our sins to one another, pray for one another that we may be whole. But that takes some vulnerability. That takes some humility. We don't like that. I don't like to show people my weak side. I don't even want people to know I have a weak side. Because I got it together. Got my ducks in a row. None of us do. Let it go. We are all a mess. That's why Jesus had to come. So we have these areas in our soul that are neglected, have been neglected for years, that God is wanting to remove the grave clothes. But we tend to run from them. Of course we do. We tend to run from pain. We run back to our normal lives, try to pretend that we're fine. I'm just fine. Everything's fine. We come to church, we put on a hat. I praise the Lord. We go out and we're full of strife and envy and cursing. We're just fooling ourselves. The problem is we're running from huge tracks of our own soul, leaving them behind. Then we can't find more of God because we're looking for him with so little of our own soul. It takes more of you to find more of God. You know, over the past 40 years that I've been married to Steve, that, in fact, the big tall guy, that was my husband. Some of you might not know that. I'm a pastor here today because of him. Actually, he was always the pastor, and I was the pastor's wife. And now he's the pastor's wife. No, he's not. No, actually, he's awesome. I couldn't do it without him. I'm telling you, talk about building my house on a rock. But anyway, he worked for the district. He pastored always, and we did the kids, and I had six kids of my own, so I was busy. But I got my license. I went to Bible school. That's how we met. Just for some of you, I feel like I'm going to tell this story real quick. So the district, actually, David. Wave, David. There's our pastor, David. We love David. God was calling him to pastor the community in the police force. So this spot was open. So Steve, working for the district, said to me, say, Cynthia, they're looking for people to fill the pulpit while they're in transition. You want to do it? And I said, oh, okay. I hadn't done that for a long time. And as I was getting ready, I was like, oh, why did I say I'd do this? I don't want to do this. It felt too vulnerable. It felt too scary to get up in front of people and maybe make a fool of myself. See, I was in my little safe zone. I had a massage business. I was making people feel really good. Nobody hated me. Nobody would shoot at me as a massage therapist. You get up in front behind here, boy, you are out there for people to shoot at you and criticize you and judge you. I would rather just stay in my little comfort zone. So I did it. So I said, okay, I will. Like I said, I was struggling getting ready. And then when I came here and I stepped up here, it was like so fun. And when we left here, Steve looked at me and said, you should pastor this church. And I said, that is the stupidest thing. I went off. And even that made me think, what? Why? Why did that affect me like that? My spirit was lusting against my flesh. In my heart, I knew he was right, but my flesh was terrified to get out of my comfort zone and do something I didn't know how to do and I'd never done before, and I could look like a fool. And so then I came back, and it was fun again. It's like, Lord, do I have grace for something I had no idea? And I would have never known. And in the last 5 years has been the hardest and the most wonderful thing I've ever done, because there's wonderful people here. The hardest because I've had to face my own demons. I've had to face my own Goliaths, my own insecurities, and look at them straight in the face and look in the mirror. So anyway, before I knew it, here I was a pastor. And thank God, and you guys are amazing. I mean, I'm still so honored now just to be able to walk with you. You know, I really feel like I'm just a mama, you know, and you all are my friends. And I like to have lots of friends. I love you too. So anyway, where was I? So my heart was broken, my heart was torn. I know where I was. Yeah, we moved a lot in our 40 years that we've been married. About every 5 years, for some reason, the Lord would move us. You know, we never expected it. We never intended it. And I realized as I was in those 5 years, I'd get really close to people. And then we'd move. It's like, it would kill me. And then we'd go to the next place, and it's like, I don't know if I want to risk getting close to people again because that hurt. What if we had to leave them again? And I realized, remembering the pain of that last loss caused me not to want to give my everything. Over time, each loss causes us to offer less and less the next time. What's available in us is lessened through our losses if we don't embrace the pain and acknowledge those things in our life that have been painful and let Jesus come in that place and make us whole. We often can't find more of God we long for because we're looking with so little of ourselves. Too much of us has been left behind. Just as the assault on our attention keeps pushing us into the shallows so that we no longer hear deep calling on to deep because we're protecting ourselves with armor. And a life lived without self-protection feels like suicide. We are scared to death of it. But actually, it's life. It's real life. Because nobody really can love you if you're all armored up because they don't know you. Not the real you. And more people and their deathbed, their one regret is the regret that they never lived out of their authentic self. They lived by what they thought other people expected of them. And they go to their grave, never being or even knowing their true self. So the past significant moments of disappointment, of loss, of grief, of our souls, we are like eroded stream banks, a little more shaved off every year, continues the shallowification of our souls. It's like the lonesome hero in Desperado, who was losing all of his highs and lows. His feelings simply went away. Do you ever feel just kind of numb? Because you don't numb painful experiences and emotions without also numbing the good emotions. You don't pick and choose. You armor up, it's all numbed. You begin to lose your authentic self. We try to push past that to make something of ourselves. That feeling of you're so lonely, so we work harder, we produce more. And maybe in the world's eyes, it might look like God is blessing us because of our doing good. But when you're all alone and the noise is silenced, you feel the pain in your soul. Your orphan's heart that's crying, Abba, Abba. God in his mercy is drawing us to humble ourselves and lay naked before him. Let's go on in James. If you ask, you don't receive, for you ask with corrupt motives, seeking only to fulfill your own selfish desires. You become spiritual adulterers who are having an affair, an unholy relationship with the world. Don't you know that flirting with the world's values places you at odds with God? Whoever chooses to be the world's friend makes himself God's enemy. This isn't me, guys. This is the Word of God. Does the scripture mean nothing to you that says the spirit that God breathed into your hearts is a jealous lover who intensely desires to have more and more of us? But you have to give him permission. You have to be willing to go there. You have to stop and quiet down long enough to pay attention to what's really going on and invite Jesus to come in. It isn't easy. That's why he said, narrow is the way, and few there be find it. I believe that. If you're not used to being in touch with your emotions, that when you first start out, it feels like, I don't know. what I'm mad about, but I'm telling you, if you will continue and be still and know he's God and sit before God and say, God, search me. God, I want to love with all of my heart. I want to be loved with all of my heart. Help me, Jesus. That's a broken heart. That's a contrite heart. That Jesus will rush in and answer that prayer. He wants more and more of us. You feel like God's so far away. It's probably because you are giving him so little of your soul. But he continues to pour out more and more grace upon us. What's grace? Grace is God will do in you what you can't do for yourself. For it says, God resists you when you're proud. What's the proud say? I can do this. I got this. I don't need to ask. I know I just do what I want, and I just work like a horse to get her done. But he continually pours out grace when you are humble. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly of heart. He did not say, I am weak. In fact, that meek is the strength of power under control. He gives grace when we're humble. So then surrender to God, he's saying. Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will flee in agony. But you've got to surrender, or you have no power over the devil. But if you will surrender, the devil will flee in agony. Don't you love it when your enemy just flees in agony? Move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. But make sure you cleanse your life, you sinners, and keep your heart pure and stop doubting. I say, stop doubting his love. Stop doubting he will care for you. Stop doubting he will take care of this. If you'll remove the armor, feel the pain of your sin. That's why we don't like to go there. I don't like to go there. You know, it's funny, when we were in Costa Rica, I wasn't going to tell this, but I'm going to tell on myself here. Because we're a family. Y'all, don't tell anybody this, okay? This is just between us. We were playing cards. We went to Costa Rica with my oldest sister and her husband and the next sister, and I'm the baby. You know, it's funny, when you go back to your family, all these things that you thought were gone come back. These feelings. Anybody notice that? They're just these little, you know, little, you're not enough, oh, who you think you are, or, you know, just whatever. Little lies that you believed all of your life. So with my sisters, my oldest sister was the overachiever. She got all dad's attention. He played ball with her. He did all. The second sister just followed around. She thought that my oldest sister hung the moon. So she just followed around and did whatever she did. And then here's me. I was invisible. I didn't think I was worthy of any attention. I wasn't worthy of love. And so I began to get my attention elsewhere in the world. At least it was attention. It was negative, but I got attention. See, this is all subconscious. Didn't even realize it. So then I got saved. And all my brothers and sisters, I mean, I was the black sheep of the family. They all knew, oh my gosh, God is real. If Cynthia could be changed, there's got to be a God in heaven. Because my life was radically changed the minute I got on my knees and I said, Jesus, I give you my life. I died and I turned and everything followed Jesus with all of my heart. All my brothers and sisters came to know the Lord through what God did in me. So then I became like, then I was the trophy, you know. So then I was working hard to prove that I was good enough, but it was a spiritual proving good enough, you know. But it's the same root of not feeling good enough, not letting Jesus go in there and heal me in my wholeness. So here we were playing sequence. It was like the third night or whatever. And the day before, I was sitting with the pause. I was just praying in my devotion, said, God, because I was having these feelings, you know, that I had all of my life. They were kind of surfacing, and some criticism and some judgment. And I was just saying, Lord, I don't want that. I just want to love my sisters, and I don't want to feel any of this. And so I was just praying. So the next night, we were playing cards, and all of a sudden, I got really loud and obnoxious. And they were all kind of looking at me like, I mean, I wasn't even, you know, aware of it. I was just having fun, but I was being really loud. Can you imagine that? That's hard to believe, isn't it? But anyway, then on the way back to our little bungalow, Steve looks at me and he says, what was that? You're like over the top. And it's like, oh my gosh, he's on their side. All of a sudden, I mean, it's like he hit this wound, this oozing, pussy wound that I'd carried all of my life. He put his finger on it and it just exploded toward him, of course. And it's like, ah, I mean, I just went off. So we went to bed that night on both looking the other direction, you know. And then he said some things and, you know, and so I just turned over and went to bed. The next morning, I got up, got before Jesus. Jesus, I need you to heal me. He's right. Yeah, what was that about? What was that? And got honest, and then it was time to get up. Steve got up. We were going to go over to breakfast, and I said, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, I am so sorry, God. I just want to be free. I want to know I am enough. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to strive. I'm enough right now, right here, because God is with me. And I'll never be perfect. I'll never have to strive or compete for attention with my Father. So I owned it, and Steve says, yeah, I'm sorry too. And we hugged and kissed and made up, and we went on. So at breakfast, my brother-in-law and go, yeah, what was your deal last night, Cynthia? And it's like, I tried to explain it to them, you know, that, oh, you know, it's just, it's hard to throw your pearls out, you know. I mean, they just didn't get it, so we just never mind. I know, I was just, I don't know. I mean, just go on. So let God do a deep work in you. There's things we all carry, you know, we got to go back to go forward. There's things we carry, lies we believed about ourselves, that we just kind of fit into the birth order. Some of it's just birth order. I mean, what, you know, it wasn't anybody's fault. But God is setting his people free. James goes on to say, feel the pain of your sin, be sorrowful and weep. And that's what I've been doing, is I've allowed God to go there in those places where I was striving to prove to myself that I was good enough. I was striving to prove to anybody that I could, I'm not a failure, that I am enough. Let your joking be turned into mourning and your joy into deep humiliation. Be willing to be made low before the Lord, and he will exalt you. The way up with God is down. We don't like that. I had a whole lot of other things I was going to share, but I'm running out of time. Maybe next week we'll go back into that. But God is touching some hearts right now. There's areas in our lives, all of us, that we have believed lies. That's affected our personality. It's affected our relationships with our family, with our brothers, with our sisters, with our bosses, with our parents, with our children. That Jesus says, will you let me in? So, Father, right now, we open up our heart to you. We thank you, it's your intent to make us whole, that we could love with all of our heart and receive love, God, without fear. So, Father, right now, I thank you for these your people who are hungry, hungry, Jesus, to let the light shine, for the grave clothes to come off, to be a free people. Jesus, you said they'll know we're your disciples because we love each other. Father, I thank you what you're doing in our midst as we're learning how to love ourselves as we receive your love. And we'll be a conduit to the world of love and freedom. So if you're here today and you feel the Holy Spirit is touching and stirring and your heart's pounding and you just feel like you just want to cry, he's saying, would you come to me? We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to pray for you. Even though we don't have to, there's something about humbling yourselves to another person and asking for prayer that grace comes in. Father, thank you that the work that's going on right now is not ending. But it's just beginning as we go this week. Continue Continue the work in our hearts as we draw close to you through self-awareness and repentance. Thank you, God. Thank you for these, your people. In Jesus' name, amen. We'd love to pray with you this morning if you need prayer.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening and have a good day.